and welcome to Introduction to Git LFS. I'm Tobias Arles, and I'm going to be talking to you exactly what Git LFS is. So let's start right off the bat. That means Git Large File System. It allows you to have larger files in your Git repositories. But first, before I explain what that is, I should explain a little bit about Git itself for any new people out there. So the idea of Git is it's version tracking. So you say you have a repository and you have two simple files in it. You have your hello and hola.txt, and they have some text in it. And you commit that to your repo. Then you make a change. You say, all right, to hello, I'm going to add an extra line. It saves only the difference between those two files. So, okay, it modifies line one. It just saves that change on that file. And then in the next commit, you might add another file, and it'll save just that file that you added. And over time, it will build up a library of every single version of every file and a complete history. So you can go back and change, revert back to your file in any state at any point in your project based on where you commit it. This makes sense. This is, you know, common version control, the simple concept of it. Now, there's a problem with this when you're using files that are not text files, but you're using something that's more like a binary file, like an image. So in this scenario, let's say I have two images in a repository. I have a first image and a second image. They're 1 megabyte and 2 megabytes. So that's a 3 megabyte total for that repository. Now, I will modify that first image and resave it, and it's still 1 megabyte, so I still have a 3 megabyte repository, or for each commit, each image. And then I'm going to say, oh, you know what? I don't need the second image anymore. I'm going to remove that from my repository. So now at the end state, I only have a repository that's 1 megabyte big. It only has the first image.png. But now my Git is 4 megabytes. Because it saved all of that version history. It saved the second.png. It saved both versions of the first.png. And this is both good that I can go back in history and revert to any of those points in time, but also kind of terrible because now I have this huge bloated repository. And you can imagine, especially in game development, that you're going to get really bloated really quickly. And suddenly you're downloading hundreds of megabytes just to get your basic repository downloaded. And it can be really, really cumbersome, and for certain projects can kind of eliminate Git as a functional version control system. It makes a lot of people have to go to Perforce or some other weird hybrid system and using whatever Dropbox or OneDrive storage for the images just to make it work and share files with a larger team. The solution is Git LFS. So this is a joint effort spearheaded by the people at GitHub and Atlassian/Bitbucket, but it's an open source repository that a lot of people are contributing to, and Microsoft's helping out. And the idea is that they want to make Git work better for larger files. So instead of storing a copy of that file in every state, for certain files, you instead store a pointer that'll then point to a version of that file that sits in cold storage in some place on the cloud. And then you can download that file dynamically when you need it. So, you know, if I'm downloading that image repository I was saying before, I only download the 1 megabyte for the one image in the latest version of the repository. But if I go back in history to that first commit, then I'll just download those 3 megabytes of that exact version that I need. And because I can check this out dynamically, it functions basically exactly the same as Git does, with no additional workflow, no additional commands, no additional mixing things together. You just treat it as one Git repository, but the files are stored in two different places. So in your actual Git repo, you'll have a file that looks something like this over here. This is an example, but it'll be a text file, and it'll say, all right, the version of this file is going to point to this exact commit, and it will point to somewhere it's stored on the cloud. That's kind of the idea of Git LFS. Maybe kind of weird if you don't really understand what I'm talking about at first, and you don't necessarily need to even really understand the full technology on the backside of it. Just from a practical point of view, this is something that you can do in your repositories right now. GitHub has it on all of their repos for free. You get 1 gigabyte of storage. And this is in addition to whatever's in your Git repository. This is 1 gigabyte of Git LFS storage and 1 gigabyte of bandwidth per month. And if you need more than that, you can buy 50 gigabyte chunks, 50 gigabytes of storage, 50 gigabytes of bandwidth for $5 a month. So if you need 150 gigabytes of storage and 150 gigabytes of bandwidth, you pay $15 a month. Or if you're even cheaper than that, Visual Studio Team Services, which offers Git repositories, free, unlimited. You can use Git LFS as much as you want and in store as much as you want. You know, it isn't carte blanche for you to upload gigabytes and gigabytes worth of files. You probably need to re-download them again at some point, and that can get kind of hard. But for game projects, certainly, this makes this very, very practical to use a Git repo with binary files and not have the kind of bloat that has been associated with Git before Git LFS came out. So let's talk about how you actually get Git LFS to run. So step one, you need to download it. It's available at git-lfs.github.com. Download it on your machine, install it. You do have to install it on every machine that uses that repository. That's one of the downsides, that locally it needs to be installed on every machine in order to be supported. Otherwise, they're just going to see those pointer files and they're not actually going to be able to access those binary files. It needs to be have Git LFS installed to recognize the pointer file means go download this from that place. After you install it, you just type Git LFS install, and it automatically sets up the configuration for what you need, and you're good to go. I guess the other side note is that your server also needs to support it. But as mentioned before, GitHub automatically has support, Atlassian's Bitbucket automatically has support, and Visual Studio Team Services automatically has support as well. So it's really, really easy. The three major Git repository host sites that I know host it, it should be supported wherever you go. So once you have it installed, now you need to actually track what files you're going to keep, you know, track for this large file system. Right? You don't want to track every file and have them downloading from the cloud. You still want that line-by-line save every change for your text files, just certain binary files. So you type git lfs track, and then you can add that particular file that you want. You can track, you know, this file type. This is the same syntax, or I guess similar syntax to like a git ignore file, but instead it makes a git attributes file. You want to do this in each repo that you want to have Git LFS for, and it will create that .git attributes file that lists out, you know, I don't want PSDs, PNGs, bins, whatever binary files that you don't want to save to your normal Git repo. And after that, you just have to commit and push. So make sure you commit the .git attributes file, just like you would a .git ignore file. And then from then on, any new files that you add that match whatever you define in Git attributes by doing Git LFS track will automatically be put into Git LFS and be downloaded dynamically when you check out. That's all you need to do. Maybe the only other consideration you might have is if you're going to work offline for a while and you want to check out not just the latest but some earlier repo, you have to do some extra commands to pre-download certain commits ahead of time, since you would need the internet to dynamically download those commits. And if you don't have it or are not expecting to have it, you'll need to download it ahead of time. But in most cases, this is fine because you just pull from the server, pull the latest, and those are the files that you work with and while you're lurking locally until you connect back and do, you know, your pull and your rebase as you normally would. Now, the one other, I guess I said, you know, one other twice here, but another problem that you might run into is that this doesn't solve existing repos that have these files in it. Because Git stores its history and its complete history, this doesn't just make all of that history go away. So if you had PSD files, PNG files being tracked before in Git, they're still being tracked in your Git repo, and they still will be after you've installed LFS. So this is for all new files, and you can say, well, I'm just going to make a new repository that involves LFS, but that's also kind of impractical. So how do you fix your current repo to be a Git LFS repo? That involves changing history. Now, if you know much about Git, changing history is something you absolutely can do, but gets really tricky if you don't know what you're doing. Now, converting to Git LFS is relatively safe to do, and I say that with huge asterisks because, you know, some weird situation might come up. If this is, you know, build is really, really critical for your company, if you change history, it's a little bit harder to just revert back if there's any problems because you're literally changing history. And you know, maybe you change something, you don't notice it right away, and then months later you find out there was some problem. Keep a backup, you know, warning, don't trust any type of history revision. If you're working with a large team, maybe you just have to suck it up and say, hey, this is how that repo is, and maybe, you know, encourage to migrate over to a Git LFS repo that has a clean set of history, and then once you're fully migrated over to that, you don't need to worry about it. All that said, all that, you know, warning aside, you can probably do this and you'll be fine. I've done this. It was totally fine, especially if you're a small developer, you only have, you know, one or two people committing code. This is a really, really simple, easy thing to do. Maybe just a best practice, you know, set a day to do it and say, okay, everyone, once we change this, clear out your local files and then re-download your history from the repo and kind of make sure everyone's pulling from the one source and isn't going to be recommitting back mistakes. All right, so how do you actually do this? There's this awesome tool called the BFG Git Repo Cleaner that is a general repo cleaning tool for pruning, deleting, and, you know, trimming the fat in your repo. But one of the many tools that it has is specifically for conversion to Git LFS. The URL is on the screen right now, and there's also an awesome step-by-step guide that shows you exactly what you need to do. Now, I'll go over that in a second, but this is maybe the part where it's okay to gloss over this, because realistically, what you should do is go down into the description of this video. You'll see these links right here. You can click them for yourself, and you can read the documentation, and you can go to the step-by-step guide and literally copy and paste the commands. You should know what each of them does, though. So I'm going to kind of go over a high level of what's happening line by line. It'll hopefully help explain it to you so that when you're doing it to your repo, you have a better sense of what's going on. All right, so converting your repo to a Git LFS. First, you clone it down with Mir. Mir is important because you want an exact mirror of the repo as it is in your remote site, right? So it downloads the full set, not just your typical when you normally clone, but the full thing. Then you go into that folder, you know, get cd heavy repo.get, whatever is downloaded. Then you're going to run Java jar, the BFG program that you just downloaded, with the parameter convert to Git LFS. And then you want to pass in whatever you're converting. Say, all right, all WAV files in history are going to now become Git LFS. And you can run this line multiple times for different file types. So you can say all WAV files, all PNGs, whatever you'll need to do. And you also remember to pass the parameter no blob protection. Again, this is going to change history. You'll get some warning messages. Are you sure you want to do this? But you follow through and it will change that history in that repo. By the way, before you run this Java, one thing I should say is after you do the clone mirror, you might want to copy paste that and save it just in case. You know, preserve that on your local hard drive as a backup in case something terrible happens. You know, that way you can go back. Normally in Git, that's what's great about it. You can always go back, but changing history, you might not be able to go back. All right, so then you do a reflog expire for it's a simple line to prune up the Git repo, get rid of all the changes that you did, or, you know, simplify it and prune it down. Also, and this is copy-paste from their website. It says Git LFS init, but it's actually Git LFS install. And if you've already done this ahead of time, you don't need to do that. I believe Git LFS init still works, but Git LFS init and Git LFS install are the same command. Then you set the remote to the origin for, you know, wherever you are, GitHub or whatever it happens to be, and you push your changes because you closed the Union Mirror, it's going to push all of those branches, all of those tags, and your entire history will be changed. So now you reclone it as you normally would, not necessarily doing Mirror, and you now have a proper Git LFS repo, and you'll have a much, much, much smaller repo and only be downloading the latest versions of those files. It's as simple as that. Hopefully that wasn't too complicated. I know this is a subject that not a whole lot of people talk about in indie game dev particular, but putting everything in Git will change your workflow. I'm a huge, huge advocate of Git. So if you have any questions, you're confused about what I just said, you want a deeper dive explanation on anything relating to Git LFS or Git in general or anything else really, tweet me, write me an email, let me know. I would love to hear from you. You can also go to my blog, tobiasz.com, where I have other tutorials and interesting articles relating to game development. And I do a podcast called Be Indie Now, where I interview game developers. So you can listen to episodes by going to beindienow.com. And if you want to be a guest on a future show, also send me a tweet, send me an email, let me know, and I'd love to have you on sometime. I hope you learn a little bit more about Git LFS, maybe demystified it a little bit. I would highly recommend, if you're using Git in the future, use Git LFS. Immediately start using it. Start tracking your files. It is very, very cheap or free and will greatly, greatly improve your workflow. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.